We're going to be closing out the series of mission this week, this Sunday, actually right now. We're going to be closing this series out as all the words go through my head and then come out my mouth. So the desire this morning is to remind us of the fact that you have a mission in your life. Like, you've been sent here for a purpose and a reason. And it oftentimes, especially now, that mission can get convoluted. I can't wait to not hear the shh and communion cups again. No offense, right? I can't wait to the day when that's done, you know. I can't wait to the day we can come forward for communion as families. Like, there's so many things I'm, like, desperate for. And yet God has called us not to just endure this time of change, but also to thrive in it. Like, to have purpose and meaning even in the midst of what we consider an exile in a lot of ways. When I think about what God allowed to happen to the Israelites and how they were in exile, how they were in captivity, he let that happen for a purpose and a reason, to change his people, but also so that he could receive glory as he delivered them from that captivity. And so I think as we're going through the things that we're going through right now with certain isolations and things that are just changed and different, God's desire is not for us to become just angry, but ultimately to become changed, to have renewed minds and hearts through even the hardships of what we're going through right now. And so my prayer for myself and for us has been, God, if there's something you want to do in me during this, like the stuff that I'm struggling with taking in what's happening around me, if there's something you want to change within me, Lord, do so. Here am I. Help me to see things different according to the way you want me to see them. And as we're thinking about the mission, like when I preached this like a long time ago, when we're talking about mission, it was really obvious. Yes, let's get out there and do this stuff, right? And now when we're talking about mission, it's all so different and changed. And I'm just not going to say anything else. That's what I'm going to do. It's frustrating. It is so frustrating. Jordan and I have frequent conversations in the office. And we talk about, you know, what is ministry going to look like the rest of this year? What is ministry going to look like next year? We have no idea. Newsflash, you know? We have no idea. But what I do know is God's big enough to do his thing even in the midst of this. And so as the Spirit goes before us, our desire is to fall in line with what the Spirit of the Lord is doing and to walk with him in it so that we're ever present wherever it is that he calls us to be. And so as we're wrapping up this mission, I found it interesting. This scripture has actually been on my heart for 3 weeks, and I kept saying, no, Lord, it doesn't fit. I just kept saying, like, over and over, no, Lord, this doesn't fit. And for 3 weeks, it was called week two C, because it was my third option for week two. And then it came to like week four, which we're in right now, and it was like D. And God's like, no, you've got to do this one. I'm like, Lord, this is weird. Daniel chapter 10, not what you think about mission. Daniel chapter 10. If you want to grab your Bibles and turn there. This is a time when people are in captivity. Daniel, actually, they're beginning to return back from captivity. And Daniel has been given visions by God so that he can interpret things that are going on in the midst of this crazy world that the Israelites find themselves in. Now, I'm not going to, trust me, if you think your preacher's up here going, I had a vision, that did not happen this morning, okay? I just want to make that crystal clear. That is not what's happening. What is happening is that the vision of the Lord has already been given. The question is, do we walk in it? The question is, do we walk in the vision that God has given? But Daniel has this awesome opportunity. The Old Testament, before Jesus ever came, God's chosen people, the Israelites, in captivity, out of captivity, in their promised land, out of their promised land, a continual cycle of craziness that their generations had to endure. Thank you, Lord, you gave us this as an example for us. And yet God saw in Daniel the opportunity to be a mouthpiece, a spoken word of God's desire, what's to take place. But Daniel had to learn a few things before he could be used by God in the midst of the chaos that Daniel found himself in. And as I was studying Daniel chapter 10, I realized that in a lot of ways we're under the same circumstances. And in order to be used by God, we have to become Daniels. Like, we have to become individuals that lean upon the Lord and trust that whatever is going to happen is for his glory and others' good. Whatever is going to happen is for his glory and others' good. I'll say it again, real slow. Whatever's going to happen is still for his glory and others' good. Like, Daniel believed in the lion's den, Lord, and, you know, if I die, I die. If I live, for your glory. Either way, it's for your glory, Lord. In Daniel chapter 10, though, there's something else going on where God is entrusting him a message to the people. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. How many of you guys ever did Bible Bowl? Well, just go with me for a second. Have you guys ever did Bible Bowl back in the 90s, 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s. It stopped in the 2000s, I think. You know, it really slowed down. In 1990, I memorized Daniel and Revelation. This was the, talk about the worst year to be in Bible. Was Daniel and Revelation. It's so hard because some of these visions that take place in this stuff is so confusing. Like, I thought when I read Revelation when I was like 17, I was ready for like these crazy creatures to show up and do their thing. But as God is revealing this to Daniel, this isn't about crazy creatures and all this. It's really about God's heart towards his people. And so in this rule that's going on, Daniel has a different name, which is what the enemy always does, by the way. Always re-identifies who you are. That's what he does. He reminds you of who you were or changes your identity. And right now, that's exactly what's going on, church. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but you're being called all kinds of different names. You're being called all different identities. It's just what's happening right now. If you think one way, you're this, you think that, the world wants to put you down into a certain box. And that's exactly what they wanted to do to Daniel in captivity. Put him down to a certain box. I'm renaming you. I'm giving you new identity. This is who you are. That isn't who God called him to be, though. So he had to either rely upon who God called him, or he relies upon who the world is trying to call him. And in this moment, he realizes, and other moments as well, his identity has to be in God. And here's what happens. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict, and he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. He gets this vision from God. He doesn't give a rip about mankind in this moment. What matters to him is, what does God have to say about it? What is God's vision? What is God doing in the midst of this? I don't care what the world's doing in this moment. What is God up to? In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. And on the 24th day of the first month, which, by the way, this is the Passover month. I'm grateful. We didn't even talk about this, and yet it's brought up in the mess in communion this morning. This is the Passover month, which is about a week or so. You wouldn't eat those things. And Daniel, for 3 weeks, says, during the season, I'm going to lay aside all the things I normally would lean into, and I'm going to lean into God and not this other stuff. I'm going to lean into God and not this all this other stuff right now. And so he takes Passover to 2 extra weeks. He's like, I want to remember God in the exile for 2 more weeks than I normally would. I want to remember his deliverance and his goodness and his grace and his mercy that he gave to us as people. And so for 3 weeks, he withstands from all the things that he normally lean into in life to find his comfort. And he leans into God and God only. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all. He probably stunk a little bit, right? And on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. Now, this is the wild part, okay? His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. Would this not freak you out just a little bit? So Daniel is, and you're starting to wonder, did he not eat enough protein? Like, you know, he's, like, did he not get what he's supposed to get? I mean, he had to probably begin to think that just a hair as well. But in this moment, he realizes God is interrupting the thing that he was searching for these weeks, the things that he's abstaining for and leaning into God. God shows up in this moment. And that what is revealed to him is something greater than he would have ever imagined in that moment. I think we make God into our image sometimes in our world that we live in instead of seeing God for who he is. Holy and powerful and present. And so God reveals himself to Daniel in this moment. Because up to this point, Daniel would have been going in and out of what is hope, what is going on in this world, what is about to take place. And he seeks the Lord. He lets everything away. And he seeks God, and he sees God for who he is in this moment. Now, don't get me wrong. An angel, Jesus, doesn't really matter. Presence of holiness is what's present here. Presence of something beyond himself. Presence of something different than what he was normally used to in this moment. In verse 7 it says, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men were with me, did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed. I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and I heard the sound of his words. And I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground." He passed out. He could not be in that presence. I've done a number of weddings, and you always see the groom do this. Never lock your knees. And I've watched him go down four steps and hit the ground. Like, that's what I envision in this moment of the reality of what God is. I think Daniel probably locked his knees and was overwhelmed with life and came down because of the holiness in that moment. Like, that he didn't expect this. He didn't expect it. God shows up sometimes not the way we expect him to. But he reveals the power of God is on presence here in this moment. And Daniel hits the ground. By the way, that's the position he should have been in, right? But listen what happens. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken his word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and you humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the king of Persia, and came to make you understand that what has happened to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. Now notice what happens in this little scenario that takes place. Daniel's on the ground. He's been touched. He stands up on his knees and his hands, and he's shaking and trembling. And these are the words he hears. Oh, Daniel, man greatly loved. I don't know what position you find yourself in life right now. I really don't. I can probably relate to some of you and wondering what's happening, what's going on, and thinking to ourselves what can go some more sideways than it already has. And in that moment, we may be trembling and asking ourselves, what else, Lord? And sometimes we need to hear God even say to us, oh, fill in your name, greatly loved. Greatly loved. Now, there's a reason he was greatly loved. A reason. Oh, Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. Stand up, he says. Now, I'm not asking you to. But he reminds him, he says to him, get up from the ground now. Like, I don't know about you, but there's certain times in my life where God has to tell me to get up and do something. There are times in my life when I would rather remain in the background and not be engaged in what God is calling me to do, or I might be overwhelmed with what's happening in life, and I want to just stay put. In this moment, he's like, stand up, oh greatly loved. He reminds him of his identity, the fact that God loves him in this moment. He doesn't look at him and go, oh, you miserable individual. Why have you done what you've done? Or he doesn't say anything. He says, listen, he starts with what? Love. And then he says, stand up. I think it's important for us right now to remember that God's love is ever present with us and his desires for us to stand. I know the last three messages I've given have been inspirational, but there's a purpose and a reason for that. You can't be on mission and be in misery. That, by the way, if you are, people pick that up. But you can be under the gun and still be on mission. But if you know who God is and what he's done, and he reminds you of his love, and he tells you to stand up and go, you know you're not doing it in your own strength and your own might. You're doing it in the Spirit's strength and the Spirit's might in that moment. So he stood up trembling. He said, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day you set your what? Heart to understand. Like, that is my prayer right now, Lord. Help us to understand. Help us have a heart that desires to understand. I always have a heart that desires to understand other people's narratives as Jordan, I almost called you Jared Jordan, sorry. As Jordan gave us last week, I should have never done that, right? Shared with us last week, listen, God's desire is to see us in our brokenness and heal us, to give us his mercy. First, you have to have a heart that understands. Then he says, humble yourself before your God. Your words have been heard. I have come because of your words. I want you to notice the order of things that happened within Daniel's life in this moment. He spent 21 days fasting, seeking the Lord. 21 days not leaning on a bunch of other stuff, but only leaning into God. And after that 21 days, something happens. But here's what we find. We find a spiritual battle's been going on. There's been some crazy things that we can't understand, nor are we called to understand completely. But what happened was Daniel set his heart to understand God. And he humbled himself before God. He didn't think of himself great. And the words that he used to glorify God and to speak came from the Lord, and it was the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. So we knew that his heart was good. I mean, that's the order of what's supposed to happen within our life right now as well. God, help us to have humble hearts, understanding hearts, so that when we speak, the things that we're speaking are not from our own flesh, but they're from God, not from me. As I'm serving others, may it be something that is obvious that it's from God, not from me. May I have a humble and non-conceited heart instead that seeks the Lord's will and not my own will in this moment. Here's the first point. When the mission gets rough, we must seek the Lord in prayer with a humble and understanding heart. When the mission gets rough, we must seek the Lord in prayer with a humble and understanding heart. I mean, Daniel in that moment was used because of his position, his leaning towards God and away from self. He was humbling himself before the Lord in that moment, and he understood that God was a good God. And yet God came to him and told him that he's greatly loved. Stand up. It goes on and says, when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned and faced the ground and was mute. Behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. And just a side note, don't open your mouth until God tells you to. I love this little, sometimes we read it so fast we miss what happened here. It says, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. Maybe that should be the beginning of our interaction with God and others. Listen. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. May our words be from the Lord and not from our flesh. May the mission that we're on be obvious by the words that we choose to use. May they be God's words and not our own. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now my strength, no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. In other words, God had given him such a vision that he was overwhelmed by that vision. Listen, I don't know about you. There are times in my life right now when I consider the potential landscape that may be, and I become overwhelmed. It's kind of like what Daniel was given in this moment. He was overwhelmed by God's vision in this moment. He couldn't talk until God told him to. He goes on and says, again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. May God be the one that strengthens us. He said, O man greatly loved, fear not. He says it again. I love this. Like we're so dense sometimes. O man greatly loved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Another side note, listen, I do believe that God speaks to us. He reminds us of his word, and sometimes people will say things that are obvious, like that's from the Lord. It filters through this. It's so obvious what's going on here. But what you're listening to in this time is really dependent upon, are you hearing from God? Are you hearing from the world? Are you hearing from God? Are you hearing from self? We've talked about that over and over again. But the reality is that he reminds himself that God is the one who has given him the strength. He understands the fact that this is not strength that he can stir up on his own, but it's the strength that only God can give him. Do you not know why I've come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince. There's a spiritual war at hand. If you think our mission is simply physical, we're missing the point. If we start to do good deeds for the sake of doing good deeds, we're missing the point of what's actually going on spiritually around us as well. We can't get so caught up in doing good stuff that we forget about the spiritual war that's going on when we do those things as well. So what we got to do is understand that God is at work in the midst of everything that's going on right now, whether you believe it or not. But there is a war happening that we don't see. I think sometimes we pray for people's illnesses, which is great. I love interceding on behalf. We're called to do that according to the scriptures. We're called to do it. But how often are we on our knees saying, Lord, for the soul of this individual who's obviously lost, may we find a way to show your love, your great love to them. May we become stable for them. May we show them the hope that you've given. May we share our testimony of our brokenness and how good that you've been to rescue us from our own brokenness and our own evil. Church, there, people's souls are being fought over right now. Sometimes I miss that. Like, I just go on Monday through Saturday, just doing our thing. I have bills to pay. We have things to do. We have people. That's true. It's all true. But when we lose sight of the fact that their marriages are falling apart, relationships are falling apart, kids and parents, I mean, you name it right now. It's happening. It's always happened. But God is good, and he wants us to understand that that's not just something that's physical or emotional, but there's also spiritual going on. And may we become alert and awake to the spiritual battle that is at play in the midst of what's happening. Number two is our mission engages us in a spiritual war. It just does. Church, I want to help the homeless and poor find home. I want, like, that's a passion of mine in my heart. Like, I don't want to see people destitute. I don't want to be destitute. Do you? No. So what do we want to do? We want to help others. But I don't want to lose sight of the fact that it goes way beyond that, too. Like, there's sin cycles. There's not maybe theirs even, somebody else's, that a spiritual war has been going on and caused this cycle to happen. And there's generational stuff that does get handed down. And I'm not talking about curses and all that. I'm talking about choices, decisions. The decisions, listen, church, the decisions you make today impact the lives of the generations behind you. They just do. Every generation has to answer for their own. But the truth being told, what we leave behind, whether it be glorifying God or glorifying self or glorifying the world, that gets passed down as well, and somebody has to break that. And that's always my prayer, Lord. There's a spiritual battle going on over this next generation. Let us not lose sight of that, what's happening, but instead let us be bold in our faith of who God is. And we can only do that when we know whose we are in God. Daniel had to be reminded of his goodness, not based upon what he has done, but based upon how God sees him. How God sees him. Oh, Daniel, loved by God. See, that's a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. There's a spiritual love that occurs in that moment when somebody knows that there's something beyond what's going on in this world, and you say, I love you. I'm trying to undo the weirdness of that. My family wasn't like, I love you. We didn't say that a whole lot. We say it to our kids. Good night, love you. Have a good day at work, love you. We try to change the culture because it's not just an emotional or physical thing. It's also a spiritual thing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It says, in spite of whatever's going on, I love you. See, when God sees us, he doesn't see us just as physical and emotional. He sees us as spiritual as well. He sees our soul. May we become more alert and aware of the fact that we've been called to shift cultures and shift generations away from self-seeking and sin generational cycles, and to break them by us seeking the Lord and passing the truth down to them as well. I didn't even plan on going there. But I think we need to hear it, especially right now, church. Like, Satan is whipping up some junk in us. And may it just be washed away so the only thing that's left is Jesus. May the generations following us going, yeah, I've heard of 2020. But may they then ask you, in your old age, while you're sitting around a dining room table, well, how did you make it through? May your testimony of God's goodness and his grace and his mercy and his people and his community be what shines in that moment. You can change that next generation through that. You can. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. This isn't the end of my sermon, sorry. Put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I'm going to read this slow. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, I spent like 6 weeks or 8 weeks teaching, so I don't have time to do it. But I just wanted to touch on it to remind us, it's a spiritual war. You better get your armor on. And it's God's armor, not yours. So you best be going to the source for that armor. You best be going to the source for the armor so that you are ready to be in this battle, the spiritual battle that's taking place over the hearts and souls and lives of people right now. Suicides through the roof. Depression, anxiety through the roof. isolation through the roof. We have to be the presence of God in the midst of that and give hope that only he can give at this season, at this time. Listen, you, church, you've been called for this. You've been called for this. We've been preparing for this for the last 2.5 years. Jesus says, I've said all these things in John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. I've said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. I love how Jesus looks at his disciples in this moment. It's like, I've said all this, so you stay firm. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offered service to God. This is not an uplifting scripture. Hang on, okay? They will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. When the hour comes. Listen, sometimes we want to be so prepared in the present and the future, we forget about the present of what God's trying to do right here, right now. And when that hour comes, may we open our mouth and be reminded of God's goodness. Point number 3, when threatened, we will hear voices. They will either speak truth or embellish lies. When threatened, we will hear voices. How many of y'all hear voices? Y'all liars. Y'all like, I don't want to be committed. I hear voices. Is that a weird confession or what from a preacher? I don't hear like a voice on there going, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying society is talking loud. Has been, will continue to. Voices are all over. People are inputting information into us from all over the place. And you listen, some of y'all actually turn the channel to it. Get what I'm saying? Some of you turn the radio on. It can be music, it can be TV, it can be, and I'm not down on media because it actually be your coworkers who are shooting you text messages with stuff that's not good. It can be all kinds of voices that are coming in and embellish. Listen, those voices will either speak truth or embellish lies. And I use the word embellish because it only takes a seed of a lie and then it becomes embellished as we live in that thing for a little bit. Vain imaginations can run rampant once we forget about God's word. And Jesus reminds his disciples, listen, I've told you all these things so that when it all comes, when it all hits, you'll remember what I've said. You've got to be in the word. We talked about this for months. You've got to be in the word in order to remember what God said. If I spent as much time in here as I did on certain things, we'd all be scholars. May we have a constant diet of God's word. So what overflows is his word. He said, goes on and says, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. Jesus with his disciples walking. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Can you imagine Jesus saying, I'm leaving you? Ugh. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us as believers in Jesus, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and he will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged, and I would beg you, we're going to read a few more verses in a minute, I beg you to read that whole text. Ambassadors of God speak the truth, and allow the Holy Spirit of God to do the convicting. You are not the convictor. Not your job. You and I are not the convictors. It's not our job. Our job is to be the ambassadors of Christ, to be the empty vessels that only Jesus fills and utilizes for his glory and others' good. Let God and the Holy Spirit be the conviction. That is not my job. Sometimes I think we think we've failed or we've done all this stuff because they haven't quite got it. That isn't your job, church. Your job is to love God and love others well. Let the Spirit of the Lord do what he desires to do. Just be faithful with the mission God has called you on. Be faithful with the mission that God has called you on. It goes on in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of the truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And this is specifically the disciples, but God declares many things to us as we read his word. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. and all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So as we put our faith in Jesus, Jesus then gives us the blessing, the Spirit of God, to declare the truth in us and through us, for others. Listen, church, we are in the midst of a war. And some of you all think it's a political war, huh? They're both dirty. When it boils down, people are dirty. And yet God, in his infinite mercy and grace, chose to make you clean. There's a spiritual war going on. We've got to be awake right now, church. We've got to be aware of what's going on around us. Be alert, be ready, and be on mission. We are not called to stand down, but to continue to press in. There are still going to be more homeless people. There's still going to be more people broken inside over depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts. There are going to be people whose marriages are going to be falling apart. There's going to be all things are going to continue that way. But God, as we read in Sunday school this morning, but God can intercede through you and through us in the midst of all these things. I have one last text I want to read to you. I want you to just listen. I'm going to read this slow, and we're going to close out with a song after this. Paul to the Philippian church, church in Philippi. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. And Paul knows his outcome of what's going on. It's not pretty. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. I mean, can you imagine the battle going on in Paul? Like, Lord, I've run my race. Just take me home. Just take me home. And yet God says, there's too many people that you need to bring the love of Jesus to. You got to stay. This is a battle that's raging inside of him in this moment of what's pressing down. And God's saying, no, for my glory and others' good, you must remain. Let that be our same prayer. It goes on and says this, only let your manner of life, he speaks to the church now, be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, not frightened in anything by your opponents. I'm going to read that again. Listen. He wants to hear that you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Not your own agenda, but the good news of Jesus. Not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Church, Paul is pleading for them to catch the vision of what's going on around them and to not shrink back. Now, church, COVID exists. It's here. Whether you believe it or not, it is. We're to interact with others the way that we're told to interact. But here's the thing, and the bottom line is this. May we be unique in our ways of finding ways to love others and even in the midst of all this. May we not be living in fear, not saying you don't use common sense, but ultimately, you still have most likely a phone. a car, some financial resources, some time. Find ways to advance the gospel even in this world going on. May we be able to continue to live in faith, trusting that God is up to good, even in the midst of what you might describe as horrible. May we trust that God's desires to use us right here, right now, to move forward the gospel, the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not live in fear, but in hope. And even though there's times when we wake up and go, Lord, seriously, may we then relinquish it all to him for his glory and others' good and be used in that moment. Father God, I pray that